Living conditions for all classes of Englishmen had improved. The reduced cost of food meant that everyone ate better. Factory working hours had been reduced from 74 to 60 hours a week for adults and from 72 to 40 for children. The custom of working half days on Saturday was increasingly prevalent. Average lifespan had increased 5 years. There was, in short, plenty of reason to believe that society was on the march, that things were getting better, and that they would continue to get better into the indefinite future. The very idea of the future seemed more solid to the Victorians than we can comprehend. It was possible to lease a box in the Albert Hall for 999 years, and many citizens did so. But of all the proofs of progress, the most visible and striking were the railways. In less than a quarter of a century, they had altered every aspect of English life and commerce. It's only a slight simplification to say that prior to 1830, there were no railways in England. All transportation between cities was by horse-drawn coach, and such journeys were slow, unpleasant, dangerous, and expensive. Cities were, consequently, isolated from one another. In September 1830, the Liverpool and Manchester Railway opened and began the revolution. In the first year of operation, the number of railway passengers carried between these two cities was twice the number that had travelled the previous year by coach. By 1838, more than 600,000 people were carried annually on the line, a figure greater than the total population of either Liverpool or Manchester at that time. The social impact was extraordinary. So was the howl of opposition. The new railways were all privately financed, profit-oriented ventures, and they drew plenty of criticism. There was opposition on aesthetic grounds. Ruskin's condemnation of the railway bridges over the Thames echoed a view widely held by his less refined contemporaries. The aggregate disfigurement of town and countryside was uniformly deplored. Landowners everywhere fought the railways as deleterious to property values, and the tranquillity of local towns was disrupted by the onslaught of thousands of rough, itinerant camp-living navvies. For in an era before dynamite and earth movers, bridges were built, tracks were laid, and tunnels were cut by sheer human effort alone. It was also well recognised that in times of unemployment, the navvies easily shifted to the ranks of urban criminals of the crudest sort. Despite these reservations, the growth of the English railways was swift and pervasive. By 1850, 5,000 miles of track crisscrossed the nation, providing cheap and increasingly swift transportation for every citizen. Inevitably, the railways came to symbolise progress. According to The Economist, in locomotion by land, our progress has been most stupendous, surpassing all previous steps since the creation of the human race.